So let's go ahead and call the April 21st advisory committee to order. So let's see here. Janine, are you going to do a roll call?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
This is the roll call for the advisory committee meeting Thursday, April 21st, 2022. City of Chino.
Dave Crosley.
City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig.
City of Ontario.
Christopher Quach is present. Thank you.
City of Pomona. City of Upland. Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Eduardo Espinoza present.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Josh Swift.
Fontana Water Company.
Chris Feely.
Harupa Community Services District.
Chris Birch.
Monte Vista Water District. Minor One San Antonio Water Company.
Brian Lee.
Minor Two Monte Vista Irrigation Company. For the Agricultural Pool.
Jeff Pearson.
For the Non-Agricultural Pool, Vice Hall? Chair Brian Guy.
Present.
This is Pete Hall.
All right.
Agricultural Pool.
There you go.
This Nathan DeBoom. Oh, Pete Hall. Thank you, Pete. Nathan DeBoom. Henry DeHaan. Robert Feenstra. John Heising. Ron LaBruchery. Ron Petersma. Larry Kane. Jimmy Madrano.
Marilyn Levin for Larry Kane.
Thank you, Marilyn. And for the non-agricultural pool, Kathleen Brundage. Christopher Quach.
Chris Quach is present, but I'm representing the appropriate pool for Ontario today.
Thank you. You have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. And just to check if Pomona, Upland, Monte Vista, any of those others that typically are here. Anybody here now?
Hey, Chris, hello. This is Nicole DeMowat for Upland and Weston.
Thank you, Nicole. All right. Sounds great. Thank you. Next on the items, Peter, do we have any reorders or additions to the agenda?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the advisory committee. We have no additions and no reorder to the agenda.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Going to item one is the consent calendar. Any discussion on any items on the consent calendar?
Ron Craig, Chino Hills, moves approval.
Thank you, Ron. Do we have a second?
Jeff Pearson, second.
Thanks, Jeff. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Hearing none, that passes unanimously. All right, so moving on to item two, business items. There's nothing under business items, so we'll move to item three, reports and updates. We've got a few of these. So, Brad, are you going to take legal?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, this is Peter. Okay. The legal counsel report remains the same as was given to the pools last week. Okay. Be happy to take any questions if there are any.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. And does anybody have any?
I'm here in for Brad today. So if there are any questions I can answer, happy to do so.
Thank you, Laura. All right. Anybody have questions for Laura, Peter, or Brad in someplace? All right, sounds good. Thank you. Then we'll move to engineering. Garrett or Andy, or is it the same as last week as well?
It's the same as last week. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, great. Thank you, Garrett. Anybody have questions for Garrett? Thank you for being here, Garrett. All right, moving on, we'll go to CFL report, which there wasn't anything. Just want to make sure nothing's changed on that. Peter or Joe?
Nothing has changed.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll move on to the GM report. Peter, anything to update the group on, please?
Yes, we have brought back the regional water supply drought update. There was a presentation given to each of the three pools last week by IUA. The situation is fairly dynamic, and so we've kept the item on the agenda for advisory committee, and I believe we have an update with some developments from IUA. I think, is it Joshua will be giving that?
Good morning. Yes, Peter. Can you hear me?
Thank you, Joshua. Yes, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Josh, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning, Chair and members of the advisory committee. Thank you for the opportunity to provide the latest on the dynamic drought situation. I'm excited to share that as a result of our regional coordinated effort, late yesterday, MWD shared with its state water project dependent member agencies two approaches in their emergency conservation program. The first approach is consistent with the one that went to their board as information a few weeks ago, where it focuses on outdoor use limits, prescribing a 1 day per week outdoor water use restrictions with the possibility of 0 day per week watering in the future. This method would include auditable enforcement and tracking. The second approach is the approach that IUA and our customer agencies helped advocate for and develop, and it's a volumetric target allocation, where each MWD state water project dependent agency receives a specific volumetric target allocation with penalties for use above the total target. The target allocation will be based on the available supplies for Metropolitan and DWR's human health and safety supplies. We'd like to express our appreciation to the entire regional drought team and MWD for working collaboratively towards the solution. We're certain that there'll be questions and further details that we'll continue working through together, but we wanted to share this positive development and having two alternatives that we really strived for. Also, at last week's meeting, the MWD Board of Directors did not approve the 8% annual rates and charges increases and instead approved a 5% increase for each of 2023 and 2024. So some big wins there in the last couple of days. Three Valleys is also one of the impacted agencies and have been working diligently on this as well for the drought. So if they'd like to add anything to this drought update, I'll hand it over to them.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate that. That's great news on the water supply side. Yeah. It's also kind of funny that we can be excited about 5% rate increases, but yeah, anyways. All right. Thank you. Anybody else from Three Valleys or Western have anything on the drought update? Otherwise, we'll go through on the their updates as well later.
Just real quick, Chris, maybe some good news on the drought situation. Back in March, when the state announced the 5% allocation down from 15, Oroville Reservoir had about 1.6 million acre feet in it. If you look at it today, it has just over 1.8 million acre feet. So it's come up significantly since the 5% allocation was announced. That was brought up yesterday with our meeting with Metropolitan, but when they make their final announcement on May 15th, they do not think they're going to increase the allocation, but you know, we can always keep our fingers crossed. You never know, but it's been raining up north. So that's good news. And we'll take every drop of it. But for the most part, Josh pretty much covered it. And one other thing, more Three Valleys centric, is yesterday our board adopted a resolution authorizing an application to the Bureau of Reclamation for a Water Smart grant. That's to support the development of a Three Valleys drought contingency plan. We're asking for $200,000 and we would match that, of course. And that was adopted yesterday. And I want to thank the Water Master for providing a letter of support. Other than that, Mr. Chair, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. All right. Peter, anything else on item D1?
Nothing else on D1. I do on D2, it's the Water Master Board workshop. I wanted to share with everyone remind everyone that the workshop is happening next Tuesday on April 26th. The beginning time is 5 p.m. People are encouraged and welcome to come a little earlier so we can get everybody settled and we can start at 5 o'clock. The meeting looks like it'll be in person only because of the layout of the facilities and our ability to broadcast from there is fairly limited. For those that plan to attend, there will be we will be providing a dinner, but we do ask that you RSVP so that we have a good head count and we can have dinner for you and not have to go to a lottery system as to who eats and who starts. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be a very good discussion and happy to answer any questions about that.
Thank you, Peter. Anybody have questions for Peter on any of those items?
Chairman.
I hear somebody.
I just want to know who do we RSVP to?
The emails have been coming from Anna Nelson. And if you can respond to her or to me or anybody else, it's fine. So long as we get a nod that you are or not attending, it'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff, for asking that. Marilyn, go ahead.
Thank you. Wow. I had sent a note to Peter, and I honestly haven't looked at the whole package, but are all the documents that are going to be, provided as educational materials for the workshop, are they in this package today? In other words, are we all, since the public's attending, are we all getting the, the information that Mr. Kabunis had said was going to be released to the board?
All right. Thank you. Peter, were you planning on releasing them before or after?
As I replied to Marilyn's email, the answer is yes. We will send the material out by email today.
Okay,
and
great.
It will be on the website.
All right.
Peter,
awesome.
I was supposed to read my email. No, I did. Sorry. I just wanted to follow up because there's new members, coming in. And so they're eager to get all the information. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Marilyn. All right. Any other questions for Peter? All right. And Peter, under other, do you have anything else?
I do have one other question.
Regarding that?
No. Could we have an update on the...
I was just going to ask, we've got a part in the agenda later for any of the committee comments. So if it's not under Peter, then we can roll it back to that. Thank you, Marilyn.
It is a question for Peter.
Regarding his item there? Go ahead.
Regarding other.
Okay, I was going to ask him if he had other. So.
Okay, I'll stop and wait.
Thank you. Peter, do you have anything under other, or would you like Marilyn to ask?
I don't have anything under other.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm so sorry. Is there an update on the timing for consideration of the evergreen storage agreements? I know that at the various meetings there was some potential, and I think it was even continued for for Chino's comments. And so I just wanted to know what is the present timing on the evergreen storage agreements.
Great, thank you. Peter?
We were under the impression, we are under the impression that we will be getting comments, and we've received comments from the overlying non-agricultural pool so far. That's all I know.
And I think the expectation is that we'll be seeing something next month as well. So
thank you.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn. All right. And you got nothing under other. Okay. So moving on to the IUA update, we have the written report as part of the package. Josh, is there anything that you want to add to the written report?
Nothing further. Thank you. All
right. Thank you, Josh. Anybody have any other questions for IUA?
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy Campbell in the room. Hey, we have a groundwater recharge update.
Oh, please. Thank you, Andy.
All right. I'm going to wait till the presentation is loaded. So this is a GWR status update. We're a little bit out of sequence with our normal presentation. I usually like to come in after the GRCC meeting. So we were skipped over at the last meeting, so we're going to come today. So there's a little bit of old information and a little bit of new information that hasn't even come to the GRCC yet. Next slide, please. So I want to give you a snapshot. We've got some, good news on the recycled water front. In a very dry year, we're on pace for a record recycled water delivery. You can see this is our last 12 months of available water supplies.
Andy, hold on one second.
Sure.
Let me check with the people that are on the Zoom call. Can you see the screen with a chart?
No, we cannot. Or at least okay. I can't.
Can we please screen share so they can see it?
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, now it's up. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So I'll start over. This is Andy Campbell with Inland Empire Utilities Agency. And for those who may not know me, I operate the groundwater recharge program for Watermaster through IUA. So I'd like to include some slides that give you a nice little field trip around some of the basins. This is a shot of San Sebastian Basin 3, which I'll talk about a little bit later in the presentation. But what you see there is a fairly new recycled water delivery point into that basin. Next slide, please. So this graph is a bar graph showing the performance of the program over the past 12 months. So essentially April to 21 to March of 2022. The blue is stormwater. You can see we haven't had much of it. It's been a very dry year. December was somewhat of a saving grace for us, 5,500 acre feet, not much more in January and February. And then we had a fair March with a little over 1,300 acre feet. But the recycled water program was very strong. We had several record months, September of 21, January and February of 22. And we had some that were fairly close to breaking records. You can see October 21 was our highest delivery of the year, but it came about 50 acre feet shy of beating a prior October. Next slide, please. So hopefully we're all getting used to this slide. I've presented it a few times. It's essentially a cumulative the different sources of water. So on the left, we have stormwater accumulation for the current water year. So that's our black line. That's where we are through March compared to other years. The blue lines are the wetter years and the red lines are the drier years. The same color pattern holds for the recycled water delivery. So the drier years will indicate more recycled water. So they're the red lines. You can see for stormwater, it's not as bad as it has been in some of the prior years, thanks to that December rain. And so I was looking at this graph this morning, thinking about sort of how we can predict where we're going to be. And you can see even in prior years, it's usually one big month that makes that graph jump. So if we don't get much more in April and May, which I hope we do, we'll probably end up in the near the high point of those yellow bars. So making it more of like a moderate year for this program. But our high in the program, you can see, is around 17,000 acre feet of stormwater. I'm hoping we get to 10 for this particular year.
Andy?
Yes, please.
It said maybe an obvious answer, but is it the more it rains, the less room there is to recharge recycled water? Is that?
Yeah, so typically when it rains real hard and we can fill the basins up, the basins may fill and spill. And then we have usually wait for more capacity to put recycled water in there. The concern is if we pump water, it may just get pushed out by the next rain. So we typically wait till we feel like we can meet that recharge without losing that water.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can see on the right, recycled water. It's the same type of graph, accumulation of total deliveries for the year. And we're on pace to match our record year last year. We should end up around 16,000 acre feet for the fiscal year. Our previous high was last year, just cresting over 16,000. Next slide, please. Some of the activities I wanted to report, we've made a contract with Cal Fire to help us clean up some of the basins, both from a trash standpoint and a weeding standpoint. They're very inexpensive compared to a commercial contractor. We use them to clean up the Ely Basin, which is one of the basins we had a huge trash change order a few years back on cleaning up that basin. I've got a couple slides to share you on that cleanup effort. Etiwanda Debris Basin, there was a vegetation issue. We don't normally weed that basin. The flood control district does normally, but we decided to step in and do what we call a rip and smooth, which essentially ripped out some of the mule fat type vegetation that was growing. It was just in time for that December rain. We also did some minor repairs on our imported water turnouts. CB 15, 11, and 18 had developed minor leaks over the years. Nothing that cost us anything from a water delivery standpoint, but more of a vector control issue management in the channel. We've had some security issues at basins with some vandalism linked to homeless camps. So we had one repeat vandalism, and we called in Ontario PD and eventually evicted that occupant. I showed a cover of San Sebastian Basin 3, and that's a pleasantly productive recharge site now that we have recycled water delivery to that. So I'll share that with you as well. And then just recently, we have some rubber dam inspections that are going to lead to some repairs. And so I wanted to share that with you as well. Next slide, please. So this is the result of CAL FIRE cleaning the Ely basins. You can see that it's very pristine, which is what we want to see. This is early December. However, a couple weeks later, it rained really hard. And next slide, please. And we're back to where we were before. You can see that's trash that just came in and about a 1 to 2 weeks of rain in Ely Basin. So we'll need to get back out there again with CAL FIRE. So it's fortunate that they're very effective and inexpensive for us. The issue with CAL FIRE is their availability. You know, with the dry season, they're out fighting fires. That's their primary goal, but we bring them in whenever we can. Next slide, please. This is Etiwanda Debris Basin. This is a site that we don't get a lot of visitors to, but this is what it looks like. This is back in July. You can see the vegetation is starting to grow. Flood control typically will mow that vegetation and leave it to rot in the basin, which impacts the infiltration rate. So we got CAL FIRE out there to pick up some of that. And then we had a bulldozer go in after and kind of rip the soil to keep it in percolating order. So the next slide shows the after. It's actually after the rain and everything's percolated in, but the vegetation's mostly gone there. Next slide, please. So this is that homeless camp at Turner Basin 2. This is the day we evicted them. We had given them warning to leave before the December rains. They chose not to leave. We gave them another warning the day before the rain came. They chose not to leave. Their camp got flooded. In January, we brought in the police department and we evicted them. But you can see all the debris that they bring in to a basin. And that's the type of debris that ends up at our basins that really costs us a lot when we clean the basins, because we've got that debris mixed in with the soil. So we've been trying to keep it a lot cleaner. Next slide shows just the after of basically they're gone. Next slide, please. So this is San Sylvain Basin 3. It was the cover slide. You can see that we have recycled water delivery. This is really the first time we put recycled water delivery in this basin. This is right after the December rains. Typically, because we could not deliver water to this basin, we would let flood control manage the vegetation in that basin, which they typically would let it grow and cut it back every 5 to 7 to 8 years. But with the ability to deliver stormwater from the San Sylvain pump station and recycled water, we took it upon ourselves to clear out all the mule fat there. And we're pleasantly surprised to find that we can't keep this basin full of water. We can put 8 to 9 CFS of recycled water and it just disappears into the ground. We can put about 2 to 3 feet of water in it and that's it. If I were to put 9 CFS of water in any other basin, it would fill up and we'd have to shut off the water. So it's a very good basin for us. I look forward to using it more in the future. Next slide, please. Just a couple weeks ago, we inspected our rubber dams. We have a contractor that's an expert in rubber dams that we brought him in. It's been about 4 years since we had a commercial contractor come in and inspect our rubber dams. And just sort of as a little guide, that upper left photo shows the construction of the dams. We mount this rubber bladder with brackets to the concrete floor. The brackets go up the sidewall. The bladder is fastened to it. It has a fold as it drapes across the floor. And then the downstream side, there's a fin that will ultimately be at the top of the dam when it's inflated. And the type of damage that we've seen, the worst damage which I'm showing you here, the bottom left is some corrosion at Hickory Basin. The threat there would be if those brackets were to separate, the dam could become loose in the channel. I think we'll probably just do a wait and see and watch on that corrosion. But when it comes time, we'll have to take all those brackets up and remount the dam to the floor. The middle photo shows the fin that has become separated. And so if that separation gets larger and larger, we'll ultimately lose the ability to hold air in the dam. So the type of fin repair that we're proposing is on the bottom middle, which shows some small stainless steel brackets that will simply drill into the fin and clamp the rubber dam, put some sealant in that split, and we'll be good to go. The bigger problem is on the right. It's cracks along the fold. That fold is the weakest point in the dam, and repeated inflation deflation wears that out. It's almost like you're just breaking a piece of plastic. And there is some ceramics in the dam as an armor that I think lead to some accelerated cracking. RP3 in Turner Basin, our contractor basically said, you've got maybe 3 to 5 years left on this dam. A couple of years back, we bought some spare dams without that ceramic interior. So when we replace them, you know, the hopes are is that those folds will work better and not crack as much. But you can see from our previous slides that we're really dependent on a 1 month grab to have good or bad years. So what I'm proposing that we do is we replace the RP3 dam now. We have the dam in stock. That would allow our crews to gain the experience on replacing these dams. Nobody internally has ever replaced a dam at IUA. We installed them 15, 16 years ago. So we'll work with our rubber dam expert, perhaps a outside contractor, internal maintenance staff. We'll replace the RP3 dam this year, and then I think we should replace the Turner dam right on the heels of that, and that would take up the two rubber dams that we purchased a couple of years ago and we have in storage. We bought those for just this scenario where we don't want to lose the ability to recharge stormwater and capture stormwater by waiting, you know, 6-8 months for a dam to be procured. So I think it's prudent to act on that now. Next slide. So here's some just year-end activities. I don't think we're going to have the obligation water from MWD, but we're cognizant that there is a replenishment obligation. Should that water be available, we're ready to recharge it. We cleaned out the sansevieria vegetation in March. We're still working on a couple of RMPU projects. The RP3 improvement, we dug a new basin. We're waiting for the stormwater facilities to be connected to that basin. There was a slight delay because of some pipeline interference. That's being relocated, and once it's completed, we'll be able to divert water to it. Lower Day, there was a new rubber dam and a new outlet works, the ability to store more water in that basin. I think we're waiting for some power and controls to be completed. We'll be able to use that next storm season. And then this coming summer, we have some infiltration restoration projects, RP3, Brooks Basin, and Banana Basin. And what's shown in the photos there, one on the right, you can see Sansevieria 3. It's spilling. It's got about 8 feet of water. But that vegetation, which used to be there, you can see it sticking above that 8-foot watermark. So some pretty tall beel fat. And then kind of a neat shot, Sansevieria 1 on the left. There's a kind of a clump of something floating there on the left. But to the right of that, you see a whirlpool. That's how water leaves the basin. There's a pipe that water leaves to go from basin 1 into basin 2. So a couple of photos of those basins filling and spilling in the December rains. I believe that's my last slide, but let's see what we got. Yeah, that's it. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them on the recharge program.
I appreciate that. Any questions for Andy? All right. Well, I just want to voice my appreciation, Andy. You know, I think as a region, we're super lucky to have your commitment for the last 15 plus years on this program and managing it. We've done some really cool things. So thank you. I appreciate whenever you share these things with us.
All right. Thank you.
All right. If we have nothing else from IUA, we'll move on to other MWD agencies. Matt, did you have anything else, or anybody from Western have anything else?
Chris, this is Matt. No, that concludes my report.
All right. Great. Thank you. And just check and make sure there's nothing from Western.
All right.
Good morning. This is Laura in for Hi. Mike Gardner. And no, I didn't. Mike told me I didn't have to talk.
You don't need to. All right. Thank you, Director Roden. Appreciate it. All right. Well, moving on. So we've got the information items. They're receive and file, unless anybody has an interest in discussing any of the reports. Is there any interest? All right. We'll move on from there. Committee member comments. Anybody, any of the committee have any questions, comments, things that they'd like to discuss?
Mr. Chair, Ron Craig.
Hey, Ron. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just real quick, a couple of points. One, I wanted to kind of reiterate your appreciation to Andy for his presentation. I always learn something new, and our ability to capture water is one of the real high points of what we do in Chino Basin. We've spent a lot of money for these facilities, and they're certainly in good care under Andy's and his team's leadership. So thanks for that. And then the second point is, again, a shout out to IUA and Three Valleys, Joshua, Christiana, Matt, his team, in moving the needle the right direction with Metropolitan, which I can appreciate. I probably can't completely appreciate what a challenge that is, but on this acute drought circumstance with the State Water Project and our SWP reliant actions that Metropolitan is contemplating. So thanks for getting them to move in our direction on that. But also, you know, just I continue to encourage that it seems to me that Metropolitan should absolutely be doing some type of concurrent cutbacks and, you know, responses to the drought within the entire Metropolitan service area of the water that's in Diamond Valley Lake, Lake Skinner, all of that that's, you know, already here is going to be consumed this year. And, you know, we're just as concerned about next year. So we look forward to Metropolitan taking action in that regard as well. Yeah, that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate your comments, and I'm sure everyone feels the same way. Thank you. All right. Any other business, Peter?
I don't believe there is any, Mr. Chairman.
And I assume there's no confidential session?
Correct.
All right. Well, then that wraps it up. So thank you, everyone, for being there in person. Sorry I'm not there with y'all. Looking forward to being there next month. So have a great rest of your week, and take care, everyone.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.